Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average down 157 to close at 16,924. The S&P 500 index down 9 at 1,994. NASDAQ Composite down 13 at 4,782. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 7 basis points at 1.98%. Oil down 37 cents at $46.29 per barrel. Gold up $15.40 at $1,185.30 per ounce. Silver up 22 cents at $16.22. We went through some round numbers today, with the Dow dropping below 17,000, the S&P below 2,000, and the yield on the 10-year Treasury dropping below 2%. Some economic news. Retail sales rose a seasonally adjusted 0.1% in September. Auto sales were strong, up 1.7% last month. Sales at gas stations were down 3.2% because gas prices were lower. Sales fell at internet retailers, general stores, home centers, groceries, and outlets that sell appliances and electronics. Sales rose at restaurants. Excluding autos and gas, sales were flat. Retail sales have risen 2.4% in the past 12 months, though the gain is a healthier 4.9% if gasoline is omitted. The producer price index, which measures prices at the wholesale level, fell 0.5% last month. In September, the wholesale price of gas sank almost 17%. That's the sharpest decline since January. That drove down the overall cost of goods by 1.2%. The cost of services also fell by 0.4% last month. That's the biggest decline since February. Core producer prices, excluding the volatile categories of food, energy, and trade, fell a smaller 0.3% in September. Over the past year, overall producer prices have fallen an unadjusted 1.1%. Now, lower producer prices should mean lower retail prices at some point. Inventories of U.S. businesses were flat in August. Business sales fell 0.6% in August, biggest drop since January. The inventory-to-sales ratio, that's an indication of demand, rose to 1.37 from 1.36 in July. Now, all this goes to the Federal Reserve and what they plan to do at their next FOMC meeting, which is 2 weeks from now. And that means the Fed publication of the Beige Book today. The Beige Book is a compilation of observations from the Fed 12 districts. It's not necessarily hard economic data. Six of the 12 Fed districts called the expansion modest. Three reported moderate growth. Two districts, Boston and Richmond, saw an increase in economic activity, while economic activity declined in Kansas City. Labor markets tightened in most districts, even as wage growth remained subdued, with increases concentrated among highly skilled workers. And yes, there is a connection between a lack of skilled workers and the wages workers are offered. Consumer spending grew moderately. Housing and commercial real estate improved, and banking and finance were generally positive. Manufacturing turned in a mixed but generally weaker performance, and the energy sector declined further. The strong dollar acted like a brake on economic activity, particularly in manufacturing, energy, and tourism. Price pressures were contained as some districts saw cheaper energy and commodities. In short, there's nothing in the Beige Book that seems to tell policymakers to raise interest rates. The biggest corporate news of the day came in the form of guidance from Walmart. Watch out for falling prices. Walmart dropped its sales forecast for the year and warned that heavy investments in wages and e-commerce would curb future earnings. Walmart warned that earnings per share would fall 6 to 12% next year before they would recover. Profits should rebound by the fiscal year 2019, when earnings per share are expected to grow 5 to 10% per year. That's a long time to wait. To soften the blow, Walmart announced it would increase share buybacks by $20 billion, which is about what they lost in market capitalization today as the stock closed down right at 10%, shaving about 45 points off the Dow Industrial Average. Maybe they should have put that money into something a bit more creative. Doug McMillon, Walmart's chief executive, said the company needed to invest to return to growth. McMillon said, "Retail history is very clear. Those that are unwilling or unable to change go away. That's why we're taking decisive steps now to change and grow our business." One major change in retailing is the shift to online commerce, where Walmart is just getting kicked by Amazon. So Walmart will invest $2 billion in its e-commerce arm over the next 2 years, opening online grocery operations in 20 new markets. Yeah. Netflix posted third-quarter earnings of 7 cents per share on $1.74 billion in revenue, just missing analyst expectations of 8 cents per share on $1.75 billion in sales. Now, that might be close enough to be forgiven, but the bad news came in the form of subscriber growth. Netflix added 880,000 new U.S. members in the quarter, much lower than the 1.2 million analysts expected. Netflix shares down 14%. Bank of America reported profit of $4.5 billion, or 37 cents per share, beating estimates by 4 cents. Revenue, however, fell 2.4% to $20.9 billion from the quarter a year ago. Third quarter results were lifted by a 4% decline in expenses and lower charge-offs on loans. The bank also continued to build deposits, with its overall base up $50 billion from a year ago. Now, a year ago, the bank reported a $232 million loss. Part of that related to a settlement of an investigation by the Justice Department into the sale of toxic mortgage-backed securities leading up to the financial crisis. So, the trick to turning a profit is to not get hit with billions of dollars in legal fees. Who knew? Wells Fargo reported a rise in quarterly profit for the first time in three quarters. They narrowly beat estimates. Bank earned $5.8 billion, or $1.05 per share. That's up 1% from a year ago. BlackRock, world's largest asset manager, topped analyst earnings forecast in the third quarter, even as its profits fell. Earnings for the third quarter on an unadjusted basis, down 5% to $844 million, or $5 a share, compared to $890 million, or $5.21 a share, in the quarter a year ago. Overall assets under management fell to $4.5 trillion at the end of September, down from $4.7 trillion at the end of June. Delta Airlines led off earnings season for the airline industry with a strong report. Third quarter profit topped analyst expectations, and it forecasts that passenger unit revenue would decline in the fourth quarter year over year. Yesterday, Intel reported less than stellar quarterly earnings, noting a slowdown in PC sales, among other things. Today comes news from Microsoft that they're selling their first-ever laptop, the Surface Book, as fast as they can make them. Microsoft started taking pre-orders last week. 5 days later, they've sold out. Apple could be facing up to $862 million in damages after a U.S. jury found the iPhone maker used technology owned by the University of Wisconsin-Madison's licensing arm, without permission, in chips found in many of its most popular devices. The jury in Madison, Wisconsin, also said the patent, which improves processor efficiency, was valid. The trial will now move on to determine how much Apple owes in damages. The jury was considering whether Apple's A7, A8, and A8X processors, found in the iPhone 5s, 6, and 6 Pluses, as well as several versions of the iPad, violate the patent. Volkswagen has been in trouble lately, as you know, for rigging emissions tests on diesel cars. Their CEO resigned. There are investigations on several continents. Millions of cars will be recalled. Sales have been suspended. The class action attorneys are coming out of the woodwork. So they named a new guy to take over North American operations, Winfried Volland, a 25-year veteran of the company. Thanks, but no thanks. Mr. Volland has resigned. VW says it's because of a disagreement about reorganizing the North American unit, not because of the emissions scandal. Goldman Sachs may be in hot water over its advisory role to Malaysia's troubled sovereign wealth fund, One Malaysia Development Berhad, or 1MDB. Wall Street Journal reports the bank received more than $350 million for consultant work related to the fund, which is currently under investigation for billions of dollars in missing money. The FBI and Justice Department have already begun examining Goldman's role in several of 1MDB's transactions. Dish Network has officially petitioned the FCC to deny the merger of Charter and Time Warner Cable, citing risk of significant harms, including a suffocating duopoly. Dish noted the proposed deal would be no better than the one proposed between Comcast and Time Warner Cable, and stated the merger would result in two broadband providers, the other being Comcast, controlling 90% of U.S. high-speed broadband networks. Facebook is now testing a dedicated video channel, intensifying its rivalry with YouTube for viewers' time and advertisers' spending. The channel would appear as a tab on the homepage, allowing users to save clips that have appeared in their news feed and recommend videos based on other things they've watched. The move follows several other initiatives by the social network for online video. Facebook recently said it would begin sharing ad revenue with video creators, unveiled a new feature called Suggested Videos, and has allowed public figures to live stream on its website. We invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com.